I am before you for my final speech of this discussion. I want to begin by expressing my heartfelt appreciation to Mr. Hepp for initiating this discussion. I really do appreciate any opportunity to study the Bible, and any time that we can come together and do that, I'm as happy as a pig in slop. It's just a great opportunity to study the Word of God. Anytime, anywhere, I love it. So I want to begin with Mr. Hepp's questions that I have for him. Bruce, if you would, go to chart 210. And I want to begin with number 5. Go on and scroll. Okay, there you go. Number 5. I don't know how you did that. All right. Number 5. Was Holy Spirit baptism a command to be obeyed? Water baptism is a command. Well, Holy Spirit baptism is a command, he said. Well, last night he said it wasn't. But then he said you can't baptize yourself. Now, how can you obey a command if you can't obey a command? How do you do that? That doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I'm sorry. I just can't follow that. I'm a little dense sometimes, but I just can't get it. He talks about power to forgive sins and everything. He went over and talked about that a little bit. John 20 and verse 22. You know, Mr. Hepp is not an apostle. And I think I knew that coming in. Now I know it for certain. We haven't seen anything as far as demonstration. You know, Mr. Hepp has been all over the map. All week long, all over the map. From one thing over here to something else. And it's hard to represent him without misrepresenting him, and misrepresenting without representing him. That's difficult. False teachers are all over the map. They're inconsistent. And there are a bunch of good Bible students here in this audience today. A bunch of you are true, good Bible students. You read your Bibles every day. You study in depth the Word of God. And you recognize this. False teachers also assert and assume, but they never prove anything, nor do they ever demonstrate anything. Ladies and gentlemen, I gave you a first speech tonight that proved my proposition. There's no question about it. Mr. Hepp didn't say boo about any passage I put up. Didn't say boo about them. He did mention John 3:5 a little bit. We'll talk about that a little bit more. All right, number 4, Bruce. Do you believe in the plenary, that is, full, entire, complete, absolute, and verbal inspiration, that is, inspiration which extends to the very words of the Scriptures? He said yes. On his radio program day before yesterday, we were talking about 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 13. And he used the examples of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and said that they paraphrased each other. They paraphrased each other. That's not verbal inspiration. I was just wanting to make sure. And then, number 3, how did the eunuch come to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Go to chart 151, Bruce. 151. Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You know what? He said, they preached Him Jesus. That's right. We're teaching Mr. Hepp something. They preached Jesus. It wasn't the direct operation of the Holy Spirit. It wasn't some miraculous illumination. It was Philip came and he preached Jesus. Now let me say something else about this. He's used this passage all week long to try to prove that we cannot open our Bibles and read it and understand what it says without some illumination or some help from someone who has been illuminated. That's not what this passage is teaching. This passage does teach that the Old Testament was the New Testament, the Old Testament was the New Testament concealed. That is, that it took the New Testament writers and authorities to reveal what the Old Testament meant. You know what? That's exactly what Philip's doing. He is opening the understanding by explaining to him that's what this means. That's what this passage is teaching us, and we can read our New Testaments and we can know what the Old Testament had concealed. But now, guess what? According to Ephesians 3:5, and you know what? I've used that passage over and over and over this week. Hadn't heard boo about that one either. You know what? That passage says that we can read and understand what the Word of God says, because this, friend, the New Testament is the revelation of Jesus Christ. It is revealed. What does that mean? It means the unveiling or uncovering. We can read and understand our New Testaments. So, I'm glad that Mr. Hepp has come to realize that the eunuch, he didn't have a miraculous illumination of the Holy Spirit. No, he had Jesus preached to him. That's exactly right. Number two, were the Samaritans saved and in Christ Jesus at the moment they were baptized in the name of Jesus in Acts 8:12? And number one, were the Samaritans born of water and the Spirit in Acts 8 and verse 12? Chart 210. Bruce, 210. You know what? Again, as I said as I began, I cannot represent without misrepresenting, nor can I misrepresent without representing him. He said, no, very clearly and distinctly. He said they didn't have the Holy Spirit, so no, they could not have been saved. But then he turned around and said, yes, they were saved. They were saved. Were they saved and not saved at the same time? How is that possible to be saved and not saved at the same time? I don't think Mr. Hepp understands what salvation is. Salvation means that we have been forgiven of our sins. We have been delivered from the bondage of sin. We have been delivered from the consequences of sin. That's what salvation is. He said, we're not seeing the Spirit in Acts 8. I'll tell you what, go to chart 129, Bruce. 129. I was hoping Mr. Hepp would illuminate us a little bit on this passage. In Acts the 8th chapter, verses 12 through 17, but when they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Then Simon himself also believed, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip. Now, remember last night in my question, I'll tell you what, Bruce, go to chart number 209. 209. We're going to go back to that chart in just a moment, but 209. Okay, go on down. Number three here in this list. Is it possible for one to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ by faith without being brought forth by the Holy Spirit to do so? Mr. Hepp said no to that question last night. He said no, just as sure as I'm standing here, he said no. You know what that means? Those folks in Acts 8 and verse 12 were saved and in Christ. In other words, what they were born again. They were born or brought forth. That's what that word born means. It doesn't mean baptized. It means brought forth by water and Spirit. Were they baptized in the name of Jesus? Yes, they were. Now, according to Mr. Hepp himself last night, they could not have done that. Could not have done that unless they had been brought forth to do so by the Holy Spirit. Now, ladies and gentlemen, do you see that contradiction? He asked last night if there's a contradiction to point it out. Did I point it out? Is there a contradiction there? Wow. This is plain as the nose on my face. 129 again, Bruce. 129. Here's another contradiction. Acts 8 is not your friend. Nor is Acts 10, by the way. Acts 8. Were they forgiven, but not in Christ? He said over and over tonight that they were forgiven. They were saved on one hand, but the other hand they weren't saved at the same time. Now, were they forgiven? How could you be forgiven and not in Christ? How is that possible? All spiritual blessings, Ephesians 1 and verse 3, are where? In Christ. We got a bunch of good Bible students out here. They know that. All spiritual blessings are where? In Christ. Is forgiveness a spiritual blessing? They were in Christ. Now, if they weren't in Christ, then they weren't forgiven. No way around that. They could not be forgiven outside of Christ, Mr. Hepp. Could not. All spiritual blessings are where? In Christ. Can we all see that? But then on the other hand, you've got those in Acts 10. They had received Holy Spirit baptism, according to Mr. Hepp. That put them into Christ. Now you have a bunch of alien sinners in Christ. Can you believe that one? In Christ but not forgiven? In Christ, but still in their sins. In Christ, but not delivered from sins. Now, where's the blood? It's in Him. Now, they've got the blood all around them, but they're not forgiven of their sins. Can you buy that? Friends, I can't buy that. That is contradictory to Scripture. False teachers do two things. They contradict themselves, and they contradict the Scripture. Ladies and gentlemen, we have contradiction after contradiction, both with Himself and with Scripture. Can we see that? I sure hope you can. Let's move on. Bruce, go to chart 34. Chart 34. Scroll on down. Open all this up for everybody to see. The Holy Spirit fell on them. I agree. Mr. Hess made that point. And again, you know, every time he gets up here and he says, they received Holy Spirit baptism. That's right. They received it. Or does it say that we are to receive it? It doesn't say anything about that. This happened as on the apostles at the beginning. By the way, Mr. Hepp is continuously and constantly, consistently, at least he's consistent in one thing, he's consistently wrong, but he consistently compares Acts 10, 44 through 46, and verse 11 and 15 of chapter 11 and verse 15 with Acts 2, 38. That's not the comparison here, is it? The comparison is with what happened in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. What happened upon the apostles? There's the comparison. What did Peter say? As on us at the beginning. And what happened? The apostles received Holy Spirit baptism in Acts chapter 2. This reminded what happened in Caesarea Philippi, some 6 to 10 years after Pentecost. It reminded Peter of Jesus' promise. Now, it's amazing. It is absolutely amazing to me that this would have struck Peter so if this was a common everyday occurrence. It would not have struck Peter at all if it happened just last week in Joppa. In fact, it wouldn't have been a big surprise if it's something that happened in Samaria in Acts chapter 8. It had happened probably several times before. If what Mr. Hepp is saying, in fact, not only several, every time someone was converted, it happened. Go on to the next chart, Bruce. The purpose. What was the purpose? What was the purpose? We keep talking a lot about purpose. The purpose of miraculous spiritual gifts. My opponent doesn't understand the purpose. If he understood the purpose, he'd realize that the purpose had been fulfilled, thus the gifts were no longer needed. He needs to understand the purpose. We're trying to teach him something here. The purpose in this instance was to astonish the Jewish Christians who were with Peter, to silence the critics who questioned Peter's going into the Gentiles. We see the astonishment in the Jews and to silence the critics in Acts chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. Because what was the first thing that Peter was asked? What did they talk to him about when he got back to Jerusalem? What are you doing going into uncircumcised men? Well, look at what the Holy Spirit did to prove that I had the authority, divine authority, to do that. There's the purpose. To demonstrate the abolishment of the barrier between Jew and Gentile. And that's found in Acts 10 and verse 46. To convince the Jews that the Gentiles were to be accepted. Acts 11 and verse 18. There's the barrier. It's broken down. You had better receive them as brothers in Christ. There's the message. To remove all doubt, the Gentiles must be baptized. You know what Peter said? Who was I that I could withstand God? Withstand God doing what? Withstand God. The Apostle Peter could not do. Thus he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Just like in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. And by the way, go on. Look at these points right here. Why were the circumcised believers with Peter amazed? My opponent says they weren't amazed because they heard the signs, but it was because upon whom the signs came. Well, he's got a small point there. However, remember something. Remember this, my friend. The circumcised believers were amazed because this is something that had happened to Gentiles and it had not happened since the beginning. That's what Peter said. Are we going to argue with Peter? He had to go back how far? 6 to 10 years. This brought to my mind what Jesus said. Why would it have brought that to his mind if it's something that happened every day? It wouldn't. This is an event that was unique and non-repeatable. It proved that the Gentiles were to be accepted into the body of Christ. Let me point something out to you. Let me see if I can illustrate it this way. You know, when God created the heavens and the earth, in the beginning, when He made these things, when He made all the animals and all that He made, including us, human beings, that is Adam and Eve, you know what He did? He established laws to govern His creation. You know what happened in the church? God created the church miraculously, with miraculous signs. He brought it into existence. He brought the revelation into existence. He provided us with everything that we need. Then He set in laws. He established laws by which now we procreate Christians through the Word of God. James 1 and verse 18. 1 Peter 1 verses 22 and 23. Luke chapter 8 and verse 11. I could go on and on and on. It is through the Word of God that people are born again. So, there's a purpose, and we need to recognize the purpose. This is an event that was unique and non-repeatable. Go to next chart. Let's just go on to the next chart there. Acts 2, 3,000 baptized in water. Acts 4, 5,000 baptized in water. Acts 6, you had the apostle laying hands on Stephen and Philip. Stephen performs miracles in Acts 8, 1 through 25. Samaritans baptized in water. Philip performs miracles. But it took the apostles, and my opponent said, that it wasn't because Philip couldn't. Well, why did they have to wait till Peter and John got there? That didn't make much sense, did it? Philip did not have what the apostles had because he wasn't an apostle, and neither is Mr. Heth. Acts 8, 26 through 40, Ethiopian eunuch baptized in water. No miracles? By the way, he went on his way rejoicing. There is no instruction whatsoever, no scripture that says that the Ethiopian eunuch received any miraculous working of the Holy Spirit at all. Again, I think my opponent is confused. I've been saying that, okay, the Holy Spirit, when he sees Spirit, he's thinking miraculous. I think when he sees Spirit, he thinks Holy Spirit baptism. That's not the truth. Laying on the apostles' hands is not Holy Spirit baptism. Holy Spirit baptism is the direct descendant of the descendancy of the Holy Spirit, descendants of the Holy Spirit upon individuals. That's what it is. He descended from heaven on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2, and again in Acts chapter 10. Now, Saul was baptized in water, Acts 9, in chapter 22 and verse 16. But then all these things, all these thousands of people converted, and thousands on top of these. But yet, in Acts chapter 10, the apostle Peter, in order to recall a like event, what did he do? Like on us at the beginning. Why did he do that? Why? All right. He said something about John 3:5. A lot of things. You know, we've explained John 3:5. And I just explained it again a while ago. Brought forth by the Spirit, by water. Yes. And by the way, water and Spirit aren't the same thing. Have I ever said that? I haven't even hinted at that. But when we are brought forth by the Holy Spirit, and again, he said that the Samaritans, no, they weren't saved. But then last night he said that they couldn't have done what they did unless they'd been brought forth by the Holy Spirit. That's being born of water and the Spirit. My opponent's got some problems. He said also in Acts 11, verses 14 through 17. Okay, I've already touched on that. Acts 19. They didn't get the Holy Ghost when they were baptized in water. They didn't get the Holy Ghost until Paul laid his hands on them. Could they have been baptized in water unless they were brought forth by the Holy Spirit to do so, Mr. Hill? Could they? Could they have been baptized in water without being brought forth to do so by the Holy Spirit? Were they born of water and the Spirit? Were they brought forth from water of water and the Spirit? There's a difference between the miraculous working of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit instructing, guiding, and leading and affecting a person's life. He talked about these three agree in one. Wow, they do. Water, Spirit, blood, all agree in one. That's right. Mr. Evans needs to study that. If he really got to understand that, he'd understand exactly what I've been saying in this entire debate. He also said, Mr. McLean says Acts 10 is Holy Spirit baptism. And then he says Acts 2:38 is the same thing. He says Acts 2:38 is the same thing. Where does it say that? Acts 10 says, well, when you compare Acts 11, that was Holy Spirit baptism. Where is it stated that Acts 2:38 is Holy Spirit baptism? I want book, chapter, and verse on that. One was received after repentance and baptism. That's Acts 2:38. Now, in Acts 10, that's not what happened. Two different things. We've proven that already. Go to 2 Start 257. 257. Oh, it's wrong. Wrong chart number. 260. Try 267. 267. That's the wrong one, too. Maybe I didn't intend to put any chart. Maybe I don't know what that means. I can't read my own writing, honestly. He also talks about having to have signs to confirm the actual gift. Maybe I am teaching him a little something. Had to have the signs to confirm the actual gift. That's my point. What is the gift of the Holy Spirit? It's not the signs. The gift of the Holy Spirit is salvation. That's what the signs pointed to, ladies and gentlemen. Isn't it? How many contradictions have we seen? He says, I didn't promote the sign, I promoted the gift. Again, I think he may be getting there. Real or deception? Chart 214. How much time do I have, Mason?
9 minutes.
9 minutes. All right. Chart 214. Ladies and gentlemen, I've asked, how real would a powerful delusion feel? Now, I'm serious here. I'm sincerely, honestly, with all of my heart, genuinely concerned about people who are deceived. And I'm not casting any dispersion or disparity. I'm not trying to minimize people's intelligence or anything like that, because good people, honest people, can be deceived. And it happens all the time. But the Word of God is truly the key that can unlock the door. And just because we feel something, just because we believe something is real, does not make it real. You know, we talked about first century miracles confirmed inspired words. Today, though, men use words to confirm professed miracles. What have we seen this week? What have we heard this week? We've heard a lot of words. I again affirm to you, friend, that if Mr. Epp has what he claims to have, he would have done what he claims to be able to do. Chart 207. 207. We put this chart up last night. Is the Holy Spirit working among all these groups? On what basis do you discredit their claims? Gnostics, Mormons, Catholics, Quakers, Shakers, Seventh-day Adventists, Jehovah's Witnesses, Christian Scientists, Worldwide Church of God of H. Herbert Armstrong, First Pentecostal Church, North Little Rock, Arkansas, they all do what Mr. Hepp says he does. My question, and Mr. Hepp missed the argument completely last night, he failed to understand it. What is the difference? He says, I don't know much about this stuff. I don't know anything about the Mormons. I don't know what the Catholics do. I don't know. And in fact, you could add a couple of more churches to this list. You could add the church at Corinth and the church at Ephesus to that list. No, you can't. You cannot add the church at Corinth to that list. Because what they do, Mr. Hepp, and you listen, this is the point. I hope you get it. What they do is not what Corinth did. Is it? It's not what Corinth did. That's not what the church at Ephesus did either. 12-men at Ephesus. The church at Ephesus and the church at Corinth had the real thing. Are you saying these folks have the real thing? You don't know, do you? But yet, these Catholics, they do these things through Mary. They have all these miracles going on, and they do it through Mary. They pray through Mary. They have these relics, and they have the Pope, and they're doing all these things through these false gods, these idols. Are you saying that idolatry can perform miracles? Can you say that Mormon? They say that their miraculous gifts confirm the Book of Mormon. Are you saying that what they do is true and genuine? That indeed we need to believe the Book of Mormon? Let me tell you something. If what the Mormons had was genuinely from God, we need to accept the Book of Mormon, ladies and gentlemen. Don't do that, because what they had is fake. It's not real. But I'll say this. I think these folks really believe they have what they claim to have. I just think they're deceived. There are good folks in all of these groups. Deceived folks. They need to learn the truth. They need to accept the truth. whether it be Seventh-day Adventist, Ellen G. White, claiming to see all these things in heaven. You know what? Mr. Hep, let me say this in love. Let me say it in love. What Mr. Hep has, and what I've heard him talk about on his radio program, he's talking about tongues, prayer tongue, prayer language, things that can't be understood, and all this, and the signs and things. There is not one iota of difference between what Mr. Hep claims to have and what he has said publicly that he has. Not one iota of a difference from what he claims than what these groups right here claim. Not one iota of a difference. No difference at all. You know what? I mentioned this the other night in the Catholic Church. They had this shrine established. They claimed to have found a bone of Stephen, and they built a shrine around it, and they worshipped that thing. So they went and brought a dress of this little girl to this shrine. Now, this girl was deathly sick. They brought the dress, and then they prayed over that dress at that shrine to the bones of Stephen. They took that dress back and put it on that little girl. When they got back, the girl was dead. So they dressed her in the dress, and what happened? She came to life. There are thousands upon thousands. We could fill this building top to bottom, back to front, side to side, with documented cases from the Catholic standpoint of such miracles. We couldn't get in the building with them all. Documented cases. Are they real and genuine? Did they really happen? I don't doubt that something incredible, marvelous happened. The question is it of God? Ladies and gentlemen, what they have, what they claim to have, is not from God. Isn't there a clear distinction between what they claim to have and what we read about in our New Testament? You better believe it. There is a clear distinction. Let me tell you something. In the New Testament, when someone was healed, how long did it take to heal them? Instantaneous. Just like that. And it was visible. I mean, limbs that had been cut off, brought back. Ears cut off. Healed. Tell you what, the Lord is powerful. He doesn't work things like that. All right, blank the screen, Bruce. We're not sign seekers. I haven't demanded to see a sign from Mr. Hep. I haven't challenged him to go down to the hospital. All I've done is stated the truth. When the Apostle Paul went to Corinth, ladies and gentlemen, he went with signs, with the Spirit, with demonstration, and power. That's what he did. When Philip went to Samaria, we've read it tonight. What happened? What happened? He went preaching and performing miracles before people that did not believe. They didn't have to believe before they saw the miracle. That's just a smoke screen, ladies and gentlemen. That's what that is, and that's all that is. That is a smoke screen. That's all. I believe Jesus' words, and I believe His promises. You know, Mr. Hip said last night he knows that he has the Holy Spirit just as much, just as certain. He's just as confident that he has the Holy Spirit just as much as if he received his paycheck last week. Now, you know, I hope he did receive his paycheck last week, but let's just suppose he got that paycheck, and while he's got the paycheck in his hand and he's happy, I can go home and I can buy some things. Now, in fact, I got me a big bonus. This check has a big bonus on it. And he waits until Monday morning, and he goes to try to cash that check, and the banker says, this check isn't any good. There's no money in the account. Now, he may feel good about that check, and he's going to feel good about that check until he does what? Get to the bank. And when he gets to the bank, and that check is no good, how's he going to feel then? He may feel good about it, but what happens when he finds out there's no money in the account? 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 5, ladies and gentlemen, we read, and we see power was done. Mr. Hep, I believe, has been deceived. I believe so. Ephesians 2 and verse 20 talks about apostles and prophets. Apostles and prophets were the foundation of the church. There may be some alleged phony ones, but not the real genuine thing. And Mr. White, I'll tell you right now, I've had a conversation with Mr. White myself. Mr. White encouraged me. This is what he told me. I had a conversation with a man that these people respect very much. He said he believes that men do not have free will. He denied that. He thinks that we're all just on a train track and we can't go right or left. And he said he believed that. I called him and talked to him on his radio program. In fact, he said he'll never have another radio program or call-in program again where people can call in. He's not going to do that. And he told me, we should believe that we do not have free will, but we ought to tell people that they do have a free will. We ought to tell people that they have a free will. Ladies and gentlemen, deception is a terrible thing. Please, let's accept what the Scriptures teach. Thank you very much.